104.3 The River, the sports voice of Breckenridge County, presents Inside Tiger Nation to provide an in-depth look at events and athletics at Breckenridge County High School. This episode is sponsored by Bluegrass Lumber and Hardware, Brandenburg Telecom, Elite Physical Therapy, First State Bank, Irvington Gas Company, Taylor Pharmacy, and by Wright Implement. Now, let's go Inside Tiger Nation on 104.3 The River.
Welcome to this week's edition of Inside Tiger Nation. We lead off this week's show with a conversation with Breckenridge County High School Lady Tigers soccer coach Rob Garrett following the program's first ever appearance of the region tournament. And coach, first off, before we get to the postseason, which was impressive in and of itself, want to talk about the regular season. It was a significant year for Lady Tigers soccer. I believe record for wins in a regular season, also goals scored in a regular season. Just talk about the regular season before we get into talking about the district and region tournaments.
Sure, Lee. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, as you say, quite a season. Quite a season. It was sort of a culmination of a lot of growth that started a few years ago, and it was nice to see it come through. Just as far as numbers go, you know, regular season-wise, we played 15 matches. We won 8 of those. And we lost 7, but that 8 wins, that was the most regular season wins in our program's history. Also at home this season, we had 7 matches at home, and we won 6, and we only lost 1. That was to Hart County. We were able to head down there and kind of make up for that, defeating them away. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to take up all our listeners' time, but we had so many positives this season. We scored the most goals we had scored in a season. We actually finished our regular season with a positive goal differential. So for anybody listening who may not know what that is, you know, you take your goals scored and you subtract your goals allowed. And for the first time in our program's history, that number was a positive this season, which was awesome. And we had so many contributors to that as well. So many girls scored goals for us this season.
Of course, what has been the great run has been, of course, always making improvements the last couple of years, but it's always just come down to that postseason, particularly what seemingly has been the stumbling block over the last couple of years, has been that semifinal against Grayson County. This year, an easy win, 6-0, I guess, at least by number, was the result against Grayson County. It seems like as much as you've gone through the last couple of years to try and get over that hurdle, it seems just looking at the number 6-0, almost seems sort of anticlimactic, but still a big win for this program.
Yeah, that Grayson County tournament matchup has been sort of glad to get over the hurdle this year for sure, because up to this point in my previous 4 seasons, prior to this 5th one, it was always Grayson, and it was always close. I remember one of the best games I was ever on the sideline for was the very first season, when our now assistant coach, Amber Dukin, when she was actually a senior and a captain that year, we lost 2-1, barely, and that was a tough one. And then the next 3 years after that, we were always right there, never making that turn to finally get over that last hurdle. And this year, yeah, I mean, the scoreline, 6-0, we'll take that. Grayson County, always a tough game, because I know for various Breckenridge County sports, there are different rivals, you know. But for us in the soccer world, we look at Grayson County as our big rival. And even though the scoreline was 6-0, you never want to sleep on them. It was still a tough match. We just happened to execute some things well to actually pick up that win in that district semifinal and play for the district title for the first time, which was exciting. Credit to Meade County for winning that. They're a really good side, as always, but it was great to make that step and to qualify for that next round at the regional tournament.
Then you go to the region tournament, which is down at Ohio County High School. You get a draw against McLean County. Of course, our districts in soccer are a little different than what we think of for basketball or volleyball, in that there's only 3 competitive districts, as I understand it. So that means a couple of teams actually draw a bye. Then the other 4, I think, have to play off against each other. You drew McLean County, a team that you beat earlier, in fact, I believe, to open the home part of the schedule this season. You were able to go in, though, and get a big win over McLean County to advance to that semifinal round.
Right, yeah, and I remember, you know, at the draw, when we managed to get McLean, you are correct, Lee, in saying that 2 teams got a bye. Two programs got a bye. Meade County got a bye. Owensboro Catholic got a bye. And so I was at the draw, and when it was going to be us and McLean, there were some a lot of feelings going on, because talking with I got to talk a lot and got to know well McLean County's coach, Ricky Humphrey. And he would always tell me, you know, every time we play, it's a back and forth, up for grabs. Anybody could win. So, Lee, as you say, the first match of our season, we managed to take that one 2-1. Cindy Tucker and Floyd Peterson with the goals in that one. But then later in the year, we went over that way, over the Calhoun direction, and we lost 5-3 at McLean. So there was this feeling of, boy, we actually were in a game. We've got a draw that we could actually take. And very pleased that night. We had a good performance. Ended up taking that one 4-1. Sydney Tucker got a hat trick. Chloe Peterson added a goal. Skylar Tucker played well in defense. Morgan Tabor making some big saves. You know, I'm going to start naming people, leaving them off. Marcy Rogers winning battles in the midfield. There's so many good things about that night there was a lot of fun to see. But that was big for us.
And, of course, again, really culminated grand. You had to take on a Catholic team following that. But still, for what this team has gone through for the last few years to get to that point, to win, not only make it finally to the region tournament, but then pick up a win, get to the semifinals, says a lot for how far this program has come the last few years.
Yeah, and I've got to credit immediately there. It's got to be the players playing the game, because I love being part of them, part of their lives and working with them, but ultimately they got to go out there and execute. And also with our soccer program, I've felt excellent support from parents as well, who are, you know, trusting me with their players, and we got a pretty good spirit that's not taken for granted by me, definitely. So I was happy, as you say. One of my early goals when we came here was, y'all, let's get to the regional tournament. And so not only did we get there this year, but we actually won to finish as a regional semifinalist, which was pretty sweet, if I must say.
And indeed,
really,
it was.
Really happy for that.
Always said a very historic time for this Lady Tiger soccer program. I'm going to mention a couple of names here, and again, it's to somewhat unfair, and you can maybe pick up some others, because you've mentioned a couple already. Of course, Sydney and Skylar are both named to the all-tournament team, but throughout the season, you've gotten great performances from Chloe Peterson, from Marcy Rogers, and again, we're probably leaving out some other names, and it is a team sport, but just talk about, from the big picture, I just mentioned four names, I believe those are your four seniors, but talk about their impact on this Lady Tiger soccer program.
Yeah, those four, they're special, but this senior class is special too. I'll just name them. We ended up this year, we're going to have 11 seniors graduating off our team. So you got Krista Glenn, Skylar Tucker, Lauren Lucas, Chloe Peterson, Ariana Brock, Elena Tall, Kate Atkins, Marcy Rogers, Morgan Tabor, Cindy Tucker, and Braylon Whitworth. They credit to them for coming out and kind of setting the tone. I told them this after our Catholic game when we lost in the region semifinal. Thank you all for what you've done. You know, every day y'all came out and you set the tone for what we were going to do. So I appreciate that. But just, yeah, you mentioned Chloe for her contributions. She was actually, as voted by the coaches in the region, she made the all-region honorable mention team. So we're not allowed to vote for our own players for that. So it was cool to see her. She's a four-year player for me, and just watch her grow. I mean, this season she ended with 16 goals, 12 assists. Very, very key contributor for us. And Marcy Rogers, she's also a four-year player. She broke a record this year for most assists in a match. She had 5 when we were away at Butler County, so 5 assists in one match was awesome. You have Sydney Tucker. She finished the season with 36 goals, which is by far the most of any individual in our in a season for our campaign. She actually broke her own record. Last year she scored 24, which had taken over Bailey Castor's previous mark. So Sydney broke her own record there, and just so many great goals. And you mentioned Skylar. Skylar Tucker, a phenomenal player. Defensively, it's hard to quantify contributions. And so Skylar was actually named to the All-Region Honorable Mention team as well. And again, we're not allowed to vote for our own players, so I thought that was excellent for her. There's so much that she does that does not show up on the stat sheet. And I forgot to mention this for Sydney. Sydney was named to the All-Region First Team, which for our program, very proud of her to be in there with some of these great players from your Owensboro School, Meade County, Ohio County. Ohio County won the region this year. So to see Sydney up there with them holding her own and getting the respect of the region was just great to see. And it's going to be a lot of losses with these seniors league.
Sure. Of course, that sets the bar for the next groups to come through to try to surpass or match what has been done here. You've had a week now since the season wrapped up, and you're still probably trying to process a lot of what's happened, especially over the last couple of weeks with the way they've closed the season. But if you could take a second and maybe reflect on what this team and this program has been able to accomplish this season.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have experienced it and to have been there for it all and to see it. But I think it's one of those things, the further we get, the more it's going to really resonate as a special year. And you mentioned, you know, it's been a week. I'm already getting emails about scheduling games next year. So it's like it never stops. But I do, this particular year with this particular group of players, and not just our seniors, but the underclassmen as well, it's going to be a benchmark by which other teams for us can look at and compare and say, all right, we've done that. So we've done so much this year that has been new ground. And so just the example that these girls set for the community, you know, come out there playing hard, playing together, going places where we hadn't been before. I'm going to run out of words trying to describe it, but it means a whole lot to me. And I was just happy to have been a part of it, really, and to see them just go out there and do things that have never been done.
Rob, congratulations on a great season, and hopefully we'll be able to talk with you again next year, and hopefully we can top what has been a historic season for Lady Tiger soccer.
Thank you, Lee.
When we return, John Smith has the player spotlight, then we'll visit with Mike Harned and Nick Carter for the roundtable discussion as Inside Tiger Nation continues on 104.3 The River.
The Fighting Tigers play here. The sports voice of Breckenridge County, 104.3 The River.
I'm John Smith, joined by Fighting Tiger senior Jonathan Walker. Jonathan, with back-to-back wins now, what are you or the team looking to do to continue your success at Ohio County?
Well, John, we're just looking to just play the way we know how to play and just practice hard, and we should be all right for the rest of the season. We should have been all right for, you know, the whole season, but we've had some COVID problems and everything else, but we should be pretty fine now.
As an offensive and defensive player, what do you believe your greatest skill or contribution you bring to the team is?
I'd just say, you know, the willingness to play wherever coaches need me to play, and I guess I'd say you know, being an athlete and being wherever I'm needed.
With your senior season coming to a close, how would you best summarize your impact in your time with the Tigers?
I really don't like speaking about myself. You know, I let other people say this, but I mean, I've been a leader, and playing younger generations into the righter direction for not just football, but, you know, outside of football activities and things like that in the real world.
All right, thank you, Jonathan, and good luck with the rest of your season.
All right, thank you.
Your home for the Fighting Tigers is 104.3 The River.
Welcome back to Inside Tiger Nation for our roundtable segment. We're joined by Nick Carter and Mike Harney to talk a little bit about Breckenridge County sports as well as college football, a big game for the Wildcats this past weekend. First off, though, I want to talk about Lady Tiger Volleyball. Of course, they are hosting the district tournament this week out at Tiger Arena. They advance to the final with a win over Cloverport on Monday night, and they take on Meade County Thursday night. And Nick, no, we want to see a great crowd out there if possible on Thursday night to cheer the Lady Tigers to a district title.
Oh, for sure, Lee. And we anticipate a big crowd out on Thursday night. And, you know, the Lady Tigers have a lot of momentum coming in. And really, when you look at their season, that momentum really started turning around the last Meade County game. You know, the first time the Lady Tigers went over at Meade County and had a tough game, Meade County handled them pretty well. And then the next time Meade come to our place, it was a great game. Lady Tigers played great, and it's just really catapulted their season. And they've been playing really good volleyball for the last several games. They've been on a won a lot of games, and they're hitting on all cylinders here just in time for the district championship game. And we expect that Thursday night will be just like all other Breck Meade matchups. It'll be a great matchup. Girls on both sides will make great plays. And you just never know, but we're certainly hopeful that our Lady Tigers come through with the win.
And that is a 6 o'clock game tomorrow night at Tiger Arena. We certainly hope you can make it out and cheer on the Lady Tigers. Regardless of outcome, Lady Tigers do advance on into the region tournament next week as well. Speaking of playoff situations, I'll turn to Mike Harnett, who had the call on Friday night's game of the Fighting Tigers as they won their second straight, and now 2-1 in the district as they took on, or 2-2 now in the district as they defeated Muhlenberg County. That sets the stage for a big game this weekend against Ohio County.
Yeah, this past Friday night, of course, was a homecoming, and a lot of unknowns there with the weather and everything like that, but it turned out to be a great night for us and a well-played football game by Breckenridge County. It wasn't a thing of beauty, just a lot of penalty flags, a lot of unnecessary roughness from our opponents and late hits and things like that, and it kind of got a little chippy there, but it was a good Friday night. We were able to get the homecoming festivities in pregame and got the game played, and then they did reschedule the postgame dance, but we're looking forward to that coming up next week. So anyway, it was a good win, 2 wins in a row, and hopefully going to pick up 2 more regular season wins coming up over the next 2 weeks and have some momentum going into the postseason.
At least from the offensive side of the ball, things are starting to come together, really. I think it's the first time all season that Coach Honnell has had all of his offensive pieces together. I know he's had certain games where he had Michael Johnson, Kyron Watkins was out, then vice versa. Then in the Grayson County game, Watkins was in, Johnson was out doing an injury. You know, at least it's coming to the right time. He's got all of his weapons in place heading into a critical game Friday night.
Absolutely, and Kyron's just an athlete, but I think this year he's really come into his own as far as a leader and a quarterback. Just to watch him out on the field, it looks like his teammates really respect him as the field leader out there at the quarterback position. And then, Michael Johnson's just a beast. And, every week when we play, the opponents focus on him, but yet they can't stop him. And he's just a man out there. And, we've had a lot of other players just step up and make big plays. It's just all around. We've got a good balance now with our running game and our passing game, and special teams is playing well. And it's good to see some success, because Dr. Carter and I can both testify to how hard these kids work. And, they start way back in the middle of July when it's hot, and, play all the way up and through November when it's freezing cold. So, the kids have worked hard, and now they're starting to reap the rewards of their hard work.
And another big game Friday night as they head down to Beaver Dam to take on Ohio County. We'll have the coverage of that game beginning for you with Tiger Talk at around 6:30 ahead of the 7 p.m. kickoff Friday night. Let's switch gears and talk a little bit about UK football. Of course, we talked about it before our last game or last program. UK running into the top-ranked team in the country. And, Mike, I'll start with you with this. Basically, they ran into the top team, and that top team ran over them. Georgia takes the measure over Kentucky 30-13.
Absolutely, and we hit on it a little bit. But just to see it up close, that Georgia defense is something for the times. I'll tell you what, I read something said they may have the best front seven ever in college football, and that would be hard to argue. So, no excuses. They're the top-ranked team in the country, and they proved it. And, you know, I don't think any of the Kentucky players or coaching staff, you know, made excuses. They just said, we got beat by a better team today, but that's what we're working hard to be. And I still feel like Kentucky is probably one of the top 12 teams in the country. I know this week they're ranked 15th. But, you know, they're still a really good football team, and if they play up their potential and the injury bug doesn't hit us, which it already has a little bit, but if we can stay away from that, I feel like that we still got wins come and you know, very well could be a historic season.
In terms of Georgia, and I'll throw this your direction, Nick, they kind of remind me a little bit of the old Alabama teams pre-kick six of Nick Saban. They're not flashy. They're not glamorous in terms of offense, which we so much of today we see big numbers. They're a team, for lack of a better term, I'm going to use the term ground and pound. They're just going to run through you, and then defensively they're just not going to let you do anything.
Yeah, they're set up to win like that because they've got this great historically good defense, and then you know you're trying to take care of the football and not turn the ball over. When you run the ball, the clock runs, and it doesn't take scoring a lot of points. But Georgia put 30 points on the board on a Kentucky football on a defensive team. You know, UK defense is pretty high ranked themselves, so. Their offense isn't bad by any means, and if they can put, you know, 20 to 30 points on the board, that's going to be a very difficult team to beat. And so I was very impressed with Georgia, but also UK needs to look at some of the bright spots. They scored twice on a historically great defense that going into that game, I believe it had only given up two touchdowns all season long. And so I think, if you're a Kentucky fan, you've got to look at the positives, learn from it, and move forward.
And there's still, and I'm going to throw this to both of you and let you field the question with it, where does Kentucky football go from here? Of course, a lot of talk was unbeaten SEC East title. Unless there's a unprecedented collapse by Georgia, that's out of the equation. But still, they look at the schedule, Mississippi State, which will be tough because, again, Leach throws the ball around. They were competitive. Tennessee is playing better. Vanderbilt probably looks good. New Mexico State, both of those look like wins. And then Louisville at Louisville at the end of the season will probably be a bit of a challenge. There's still a lot to play for. Run the table, and you're still talking a New Year's Day bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mississippi State, if that was a home game, I'd feel a lot more confident about it. But, you know, you just never know when you go on the road in the SEC. So at Mississippi State will be tough. And Tennessee, I was not very high on them to start the season, but they're playing better. And, you know, I watched that game when they played Ole Miss this past Saturday night, which that was an absolute fiasco at the very end of the game down in Knoxville. But, you know, the Tennessee game will be tough. And then I feel confident you can go ahead and put in a couple of W's there with the non-conference game. And then Vanderbilt's struggling. And then you never know with the rivalry game at the end. I'm actually going to be in that game in person, so I'm looking forward to that. So you just never know. But, you know, you got two games, SEC games, Mississippi State and Tennessee, that'll be tough. But, you know, I would venture to say at this point that Kentucky will go into both of those favored.
And, again, to look at this schedule, if by chance Mark Stoops does run the table, that includes a bowl win, of course, that would put them – at 12-1 the season, but those six wins, if you were to do that, would make him the winningest coach in University of Kentucky football history. It would put him ahead of Bear Bryant in that regard. So still a lot to play for. And of course, you never know in the world of college football. Florida, maybe despite all their problems, athletically, they could give Georgia a run. A lot of things could still happen in this season, and still a lot to play for Mark Stoops' team. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up here in just a moment. First, I want to throw it back to Nick Carter for, I guess, open mic night. Nick, is there anything else you'd like to add or share with the folks? I know want to talk a little bit about the band and the academic team. They've had some success here and have some things coming up.
Yeah, so our band, our Tiger Marching Band, is having a terrific marching season. They had a great showing at Grayson County this past weekend. Our percussion was best percussion. It's the third time. This season, they've been named Best Percussion Regionals is this weekend, so we want to wish them the best of luck and think of those kids work so hard. The directors, the staff work hard, and their parents and guardians work hard too. Also, academic team, they kicked off their season last night. Quick Recall defeated both Apollo and Hancock County, and the JV Quick Recall team won against Hancock County as well. So there's, you know, there's just so much to be proud of. You know, what, it's such a great district, such a great school. I mean, you look at soccer, girls soccer, region semifinals, volleyball. We're hoping for a district title and a run in the region. Academic team kicks off the year well. Band is marching through their season. Football is two wins in a row, working to get to 500 and continue to improve at playoff position. It's just great stuff. Also, Breckenridge County Middle School was just named a U.S. News best school. U.S. News World Report best school. Awesome. I mean, it's just so much to be proud of. Is there a better place to send your kids to school and raise your children? Absolutely not. We love it here.
And I'm sure you'll be telling us more about that in the Tiger Minute as well that'll be coming up later in the week. That will do it, gentlemen. Thank you very much for your time, and that'll do it for this week's edition. If you missed any portion of the program, visit the podcast section of WXBC1043.com where you can listen to the program in full. This has been Inside Tiger Nation from the sports voice of Breckenridge County, 104.3 The River, WXBC.
Inside Tiger Nation has been brought to you by Rite Implement, Taylor Pharmacy, Irvington Gas Company, First State Bank, Elite Physical Therapy, Brandenburg Telecom, and by Bluegrass Lumber and Hardware. This has been a presentation of WXBC, the sports voice of Breckenridge County, on 104.3 The River.